Good morning. Whether you're joining us online or here in the sanctuary, welcome to First Unitarian Universalist Church of Austin. We are a spiritual community dedicated to a free and responsible search for truth, meaning, and beauty. I'm Arthur. I go by Art, your lay leader, or one of them today. I am 5'11 and getting shorter by the year. I'm proud I turned 80 this year, and my pronouns are he and him. It's a joy to be with you. And if you're joining us remotely, please say hello in the comments section online and let us know where you are and how you found us. If you're here in person, I assume you're sitting here, please join us for the social hour following the scripture, you know. Please join us for the social hour after service. It's a good thing. Either way, we invite you to fill out the online visitor form at austinuu.org. Simply click on worship, which will then show you the link to the form. We would love to get to know you better. As we work to create the beloved community, we welcome all who would join us in building a better world with more love, more justice, and more peace. We welcome you all who would join us in the growing of mind, heart, and spirit. We welcome all who would join us in tearing down systems of oppression of all kinds. And that will not change. We have to change that if we're going to address violence, because oppression is the underlying issue. We welcome all who would join their purposes to ours in a loving spirit of right relationship. We come from a long tradition of seeing the spark of the divine in every person. It is in this tradition, this living tradition, that we invite you to greet the holy among us, either in the comments or by turning to those around you. Now let's greet those and the holy that lives in each of us this morning. June 19 marks the celebration of Juneteenth, which has been celebrated by Black Americans long before it became a federal holiday in 2021. This day marks when news of the Emancipation Proclamation finally reached the last group of formerly enslaved people as troops arrived in Galveston, Texas, to ensure their freedom. This was over 2 years after the proclamation had been signed. I personally like to say that I have very mixed feelings about Juneteenth. Mixed in the sense that it's a celebration, but it's also, you can't have it without an understanding of the depth, the mourning of people that did not know they were free and continued to struggle for an extended period of time until the word got to Texas or where they were given the word. So I just wanted to say that's my personal commentary on Juneteenth. Think of it's a little bit of a time of mourning and celebration. The BIPOC group here at First UU brought forward the idea of a service dedicated to Juneteenth so that we can remember and affirm the joys and sorrows tied to this holiday and to honor the Black community. This morning, we are also welcoming our guest minister, Reverend Ade Krabal. She currently serves as minister of Unitarian Universalist New Braunfels congregation in Texas. She has served on all levels of denomination, beginning with the Committee on Anti-Racism, Anti-Oppression, and Multiculturalism. She has provided pastoral care in New Orleans following Hurricane Katrina, and again for Knoxville, UU church after the shooting in Tennessee where many people were killed. She contributed her writing in several printed publications, including She Is Everywhere, Volume 2, an anthology of writing in womenist/feminist spirituality. Reverend Krabal is currently a member of DRUM, Diverse Revolutionary and UU Ministers. And she serves on the board of Texas UU Justice Ministry, something close to our hearts here at UU Austin. Please, let's welcome Reverend Ade Krabal.
At times, our own light goes out and is rekindled by a spark from another person. Each of us has cause to think with deep gratitude of those who have lighted the flame within us. Eternal mystery, may we open ourselves even more fully to that eternal mystery which lures us onward toward life and creativity. May we find the courage to live our faith, to speak our truth, and to strive together for a world where freedom abounds and justice truly does roll down like water. May we know the fullness of love without fear and the serenity of peace without turmoil. May we hold one another in the deep and tender places with compassion, and may we grace one another by sharing our own vulnerabilities, being ever mindful of the divinity within that makes soulmates of us all. Let us worship together.
This is a time for affirming our mission. We as Unitarian Universalists do not have a common creed. One of the things that binds us together as a religious community is that we have a common purpose. For First Unitarian Universalist Church of Austin, that common purpose is our mission. The congregation wrote it together and emblazoned it on the wall in the chancery, in the sanctuary. Every Sunday, church participants say it together so that we may more readily carry it with us in our hearts throughout the week. Let us say it together now. Together, we nourish souls, transform lives, and do justice to build the beloved community.
Hi, friends. My name is Chanel Shackelford. My pronouns are they, them, and I am a Black person wearing tinted glasses and a black top. Today, our service is all about Juneteenth, so I will be reading you a book called Juneteenth for Maisie, written by Floyd Cooper. If you want to learn more about Juneteenth, there are more books out in the foyer for you to read as well. Juneteenth for Maisie, by Floyd Cooper. Maisie wants to play outside, but it is too late. It's getting dark, Maisie. It's time to stay inside. Maisie wants a cookie, but it is time for bed. Not now, little one. It's too close to bedtime. Maisie wants to stay up late, but she is too little. Bedtime is the rule, sweet girl. Why so grumpy, Sugar Bear? Asked Dad. I can't go where I want, have what I want, or do what I want, answers Maisie. Well, tomorrow you can have a celebration, says Dad. What are we celebrating? Asks Maisie. We will celebrate the day your great-great-great-grandpa Mose crossed into liberty. The day will be celebrated by us and many more families on a day we call Juneteenth. Dad lifts Maisie into his arms. I bet you're tired of hearing no all the time. Well, great, great, great Grandpa Mose heard no even more. Grandpa Mose worked in fields that stretched all the way to sunset. He and the other enslaved people would be bone tired but they had to keep going. Their enslavers wouldn't let them quit. But as they worked, they thought about freedom. And before they finally went to sleep at night, they prayed about freedom and made plans for change and a better future. Some slaves ran north to freedom, following a bright star in the sky. They sweat, they bled, and they cried till those cries were quieted by a single proclamation from a brave president. Grandpa Mose heard that proclamation read from the balcony of the hotel on that warm June day in Galveston, Texas. Grandpa Mose heard nothing but cheers, saw nothing but happiness, and felt nothing but pride shared by all those around him. The cheers became dancing. The dancing became celebrating. It went on and on into the night. Grandpa Mose and the others had found freedom. They continued to work, but this time they were paid for their hard work. So they worked and they saved, and they never forgot the moment they heard, the moment that changed their lives forever. But things weren't perfect. Black people still struggled to stand shoulder to shoulder with white people. They still weren't treated as equals. It wasn't easy, but they never gave up. And every year on Juneteenth, they remembered. They marched for jobs. They lobbied for schools and the right to vote. They shouted for opportunity. And every year on Juneteenth, they celebrated and remembered. They learned and they grew. They forgave. They excelled and achieved. They became heroes. Now, sweet Maisie, it's your turn to celebrate, just like great-great-great-grandpa Mose. It's your turn, Maisie, to eat some barbecue and drink some strawberry pop. It's your turn to celebrate and to remember. On June 19, 1865, soldiers arrived in Galveston, Texas, announcing the end of the Civil War and the end of slavery in the United States. It was more than 2 years after President Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation. Celebrated every year on June 19th, Juneteenth commemorates the announcement of the abolition of slavery and the emancipation of Black citizens throughout the entire United States.
The reading today is a Juneteenth reading entitled These Words. These words are dedicated to those who survived, because they refused to give up and defied statistics, because they had faith and trusted in the holy, because they expected the worst and were always prepared, because they were angry, because they could ask, because they endured humiliation, because they turned the other cheek, because they looked the other way. These words are dedicated to those who survived, because life is a struggle and they struggled, because life is an awakening and they were alert, because life is a flowering and they blossomed, because life is a gift and they were free to accept it. These words are dedicated to those who survived. I invite you now into a time of sacred silence, all the while remembering that nowhere is the world fully silent. I invite you now to light a candle if you are so moved. Candles representing sorrow, joy, hope, remembrance, resilience, whatever it is you need to honor during this time. As we light candles, I invite you to keep in your mind and heart members of this community who are ill or in sorrow, and those who are celebrating joys. Please hold in your heart Joyce and Dan Wilson, as Joyce struggles with serious health complications and treatments at Del Seton Hospital. Please also hold Shirley Steele, who is recovering from surgery this week for breast cancer. She welcomes emails and texts. Now let us hold the silence together throughout this meditative time. And now we light one last candle for those who have no one to light a candle for them. A quest for freedom. Freedom, as Webster defines it, is a state of not being imprisoned or enslaved. It is the absence of necessity, coercion, or constraint in actions. Freedom means different things to different people, and it's defined from different aspects based on various cultures. The struggle for freedom is a rejection of oppression. The struggle for freedom is a reaction to having freedom denied. And in the experience of African people and people of African descent, the struggle waged against enslavement, colonization, apartheid, and segregation were struggles for freedom. But what is freedom? A clear answer to this question lets people know what is at stake and challenges them to contribute to the individual and collective struggle for freedom. Whatever way we choose to become indebted economically, thereby chaining ourselves to a workforce that we hate out of necessity, is a personal choice of imprisonment. However, true freedom is a natural right that every human being is born with. And in a civilized society, freedom also means being able to do what one wants, live where one wants, eat and learn what one wants, and being able to choose the religion in which one believes without ignoring or harming the rights of others. Today, many African Americans all over the country celebrate the holiday of Juneteenth. The word Juneteenth is a combination of words spelling the month of June and the 19th day of the month. The holiday commemorates the emancipation of enslaved Africans in the United States on that date in 1865. For those of you who are questioning what appears to be some error on my part regarding the date of the Emancipation Proclamation, I assure you that it's not an error or an inaccuracy. You see, in 1863, during the American Civil War, President Abraham Lincoln issued the Emancipation Proclamation, which declared more than 3 million enslaved people living in Confederate states to be free. 3 million people. That's more people than the 1.43 million who live in San Antonio today. However, declaring freedom and creating it are two different things. Despite the presidential proclamation, slaveholders in places like faraway Texas were not as closely monitored as some other states, so they still clung to the idea that United States law didn't apply to them. Sounds like today. They simply ignored the proclamation and continued to enslave Africans for the free labor that they provided. Moreover, it would be a full 2 years before approximately 250,000 enslaved Texans learned that their freedom had been secured by the government on June 19, 1865. Union General Gordon Granger led thousands of federal troops to Galveston to announce that the Civil War had ended and all slaves had been freed. Juneteenth is the oldest known celebration honoring the end of slavery in the United States. However, like much of the history of Africans in America, the story of Juneteenth cannot be told fully without oral tradition. So while the story of Juneteenth focuses on one white man, General Gordon Granger, if you talk to black people born and raised on the island. What you will hear is Juneteenth marks the day that black soldiers in blue uniforms came with their guns to Galveston. That is the story they have told for generations and is widely understood by black people living in Galveston today. About the moment some of their ancestors knew freedom had finally arrived in Texas, the westernmost Confederate breakaway state. Yes, newspaper accounts of organized black public revelry and white enmity survived, but so too, in some circles, have folk stories attesting that some of the black soldiers in Galveston changed history that day by insisting that Granger make clear the freedom of those still enslaved. If he didn't do it, the story goes, they would do it themselves. 2 days after Granger's arrival, records in the National Archives tell us he issued what's known as General Order Number 3. Moreover, according to Robert C. Connor, author of General Gordon Granger, the savior of Chickamauga and the man behind Juneteenth, in doing so, he laid out the meaning of freedom more explicitly than any U.S. government official had done so up to that date, because the order declared absolute equality of personal rights and rights of property between former masters and slaves. As word spread, so did jubilation, shock, religious awe, and anger. In Susan Merritt's book, Lone Star Paths, Memory and History in Texas, Felix Haywood, a former slave who gave a testimony about Juneteenth as part of a New Deal project, gave this account, and he said, "The end of the war, it just come like that, like you snap your fingers. Hallelujah broke out. Soldiers, all of a sudden, was everywhere, coming in bunches, crossing, walking, and riding. Everyone was a-singing. We was all walking on golden clouds. Everybody went wild. We was free. Just like that. We was free." Though much of the language in the Emancipation Proclamation suggests otherwise, Lincoln's primary objective was not to ameliorate the lives of those in bondage. Rather, his intent was to preserve the Union. This is a direct quote that Lincoln wrote, and I quote, "My paramount object in this struggle is to save the Union, and is not either to save or destroy slavery. What I do about slavery and the colored race, I do because I believe it helps to save the Union." Freedom didn't come at the snap of a finger for everyone in Texas. Some people who should have been free continued to work through the harvest season because their masters withheld this announcement to reap more wages out of their slaves. This left many former slaves treated as though they were still in bondage. Moreover, in Lone Star Pass, Merritt reports, lots of Negroes were killed after freedom, bushwhacked, shot down while they were trying to get away. You could see lots of them hanging from trees in Sabine Bottom right after freedom. We live in a country which has become synonymous with freedom because it's labeled a democratic society. However, the history of freedom in this country is tangled. As a concept, freedom is an abstract idea, a notion, or thought where one's individual and collective existence and humanity is respected. Enslavement, Jim Crow, redlining, and other race-based forms of oppression deny human respect and dignity. In fact, they could not occur if the humanity of African people and their descendants were respected and treated with dignity. Individually and collectively, people have freedom when they have the capacity for growth, reproduction, purposeful activity, and constant change preceding their death. Human beings are free when the lives and cultures of all human beings are respected. Valuing their feelings, wishes, rights, and traditions. Conceptually, when this occurs, people have freedom. However, freedom must move beyond concepts and ideas. It must be operationalized with policies, curriculum, legislation, and systems of operation that reaffirm and protect freedom. Furthermore, no matter how it happened, Black people have always been involved in the fight to make our own American lives, demanding something of the country that stole so much from us. We have struggled for an improved quality of life and increased material conditions, such as housing, employment, assets, income, and opportunities in the quest for freedom in the fullest sense. An understanding of the history of race and racism in the United States reveals why freedom has remained central, both conceptually and operationally, for Black people. Framing Black history and experiences in the context of freedom centers the examination of what the struggle is for, not against. Understanding resistance and protest in the context of freedom centers Black people and their struggle. For Africans and their descendants, planned and spontaneous runaways, rebellions, and uprisings created the conditions to end slavery. They joined First Nation tribes, crossed borders into Mexico, and built sustaining maroon communities in the swamps. So, what is freedom? Understood individually and collectively, freedom is having and receiving human respect, being treated with and acting with dignity, as well as living with a quality of life and material conditions fit for humans. Moreover, that fact is, by folktale and firm record, key to the Juneteenth story. The Constitution of the United States gives a citizen the right to freedom, but are we free? Is it absolute? Are we all treated equal? Why are some citizens denied services and entrance to public spaces while others are allowed to live unchecked in uncivilized behavior and actions towards others? Just as the first principle of Unitarian Universalism affirms the inherent worth and dignity of everyone, we must respect freedom of everyone in society, so that freedom will be absolute and enjoyed not by some, but the whole society. True freedom must never harm other humans, being directly or indirectly. Black Americans have recognized the end of one of the darkest chapters in U.S. history for generations with joy in the form of parades, street festivals, musical performances, and cookouts. In the 1870s, a group of former slaves pooled $800 through local churches to purchase 10 acres of land and created Emancipation Park to host future Juneteenth celebrations in modern-day Houston. Ironically, as Texas was the last state to honor the Emancipation Proclamation, It was the first state to establish Juneteenth as a state holiday. Moreover, since the Juneteenth has grown from local roots to a national celebration featuring readings, parades, and processions. However, the U.S. government was slow to embrace the occasion, and it was only in 2021 that President Joe Biden signed a bill passed by Congress to set aside June 19th as a federal holiday. Ms. Opal Lee, a former teacher and activist, is largely credited for rallying others behind a campaign to make Juneteenth a federal holiday. The 96-year-old had vivid memories of celebrating Juneteenth in East Texas as a child with music, food, and games. In 2016, the little old lady in tennis shoes walked through her home city of Fort Worth, Texas, and then in other cities before arriving in Washington, D.C. Soon, celebrities and politicians were lending their support. Ms. Lee was one of the people standing next to Joe Biden when he signed Juneteenth into law. For those whose Juneteenth story does not put black people at its center, consider that there is no evidence that Granger ever spoke about his role in freeing Texas, estimated 250,000 slaves. But black people have kept telling the story, and as they do over time, it gives us reason to celebrate Juneteenth over and over again. From my heart to yours, may it be so.
Please join me in saying the words for extinguishing our chalice. We extinguish this flame, not the truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. These we hold in our hearts until we are together again.
As we go out into the world, in the face of hate, in the face of exclusion, in the face of homophobia, let us answer the call to love. In the face of racism, in the face of misogyny, in the face of bigotry, we answer the call of open-mindedness. We answer the call of hope. As Unitarian Universalists, now more than ever, we answer the call for love. Go in peace.
This is a production of the First Unitarian Universalist Church of Austin. For more information, go to our website at austinuu.org.